Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Fall of 1997. Remember this one? Fall of 97, Doug. Mick Lachey, his brother Drew, Stan.
Perfect for a father-son dance.
I've never been to a father-son dance.
Invisible Man.
I remember the song, if that's what you're asking.
Really?
If you're asking me if I remember exactly the year, no, I don't.
September 97.
Okay. I don't remember that kind of thing.
Yeah, the Missouri Tigers started getting it together and then had the flea kicker, and they played this in the locker room afterwards.
I don't think they did at all.
Look it up.
Pardon me, sir.
What?
May I have this dance?
You really think that's going to happen tonight, do you?
Guys, I had a poster of Tommy Lasorda's soft body hanging in my childhood bedroom. I got high one time, stared at that poster for hours, and I haven't been hard since. Thanks. It's from Rory Pepperpaws.
We didn't need to know that.
No.
Well, it's carrying over the discussion from the 7 o'clock hour.
Did not need to know that.
Did you have any posters in your bedroom as a kid?
I had
a big black and white poster of Babe Ruth.
You really?
Yeah.
I had Charles Barkley, Bobby Bonilla, and Michael Jordan. And when I think about it, what the hell was Bobby Bonilla doing up there?
I don't know. Maybe it was a salute to the contract where he's still getting paid to this day.
I had a Thurman Munson poster.
Did you?
I bet that's true. He was a god for Yankees fans, wasn't he?
Yeah. Just a gruff old catcher. And then he had a tragic accident flying a plane.
That's right.
In college, everybody had the Farrah Fawcett poster. Yeah.
Do you have it, baby?
My roommate had it.
Yeah. What about that poster of Punch from Chips?
I didn't have that one.
It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC studios. Gateway Buick GMC at I-270, McDonald Boulevard online at stlouisbuickgmc.com, the sponsor of our live stream on Inside STL and the stream on the app. We will be joined by the wonderful Ken Bone, who was getting killed yesterday on Twitter. And you can see on the front page of CNN.com, they have a map of the current polling of the electorate. And then right next to that, the title, "The Guy in the Red Sweater Just Sold Out."
What did he sell out for?
What does that mean, he sold out?
I can read you the copy to give you the knowledge. And let's see what Ken has to say today. Bone, the nation's favorite undecided voter and sweater icon who won the Internet's heart during the second presidential debate, has sold out for Uber. Quote, "Everyone wants to know if I've decided, and I have," Bone tweeted on Thursday. "Uber Select helps you ride in style like me."
Perfect.
That's great.
But he's a sellout, because CNN doesn't try to make any money.
And they're not trying to get clicks. Whoever wrote that, if they could get an extra 20 clicks, they would sell their soul. So this guy had fame really foisted upon him, right? I mean, he didn't ask for it. And so why not try to cash in? Well, he's also doing a lot of charity stuff and trying to get the vote out.
Well, he's coming here, and we have people already donating money. I think somebody walked by early. You got the cash money. Jennings has it. $10 if you want to get a picture with Ken. Now, you don't have to do that today, but we would like you to for Three Little Birds for Life. Chris Schaefer from Three Little Birds for Life is here right now, and he wanted to raise money. So that is what he is doing. But I saw that tweet. I think I saw it like within seconds of him posting, and I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to go well. And then his mentions, there was a heel turn from the audience. They loved him, they loved him, they loved him, and then right then they hated him. Some people were like, I do the exact same thing, good for him. Most people are killing him. I don't think he really cares, though.
But that's where people can feel superior to someone. I would never do that. Of course you would. Everyone would.
Yeah, why not?
He didn't ask for this. It's not like he snuck in the back door. You know, like, he didn't ask for this. He asked a question at a debate. And people started, you know, making this big star out. Oh, go ahead, cash in.
Well, he will be here, and I believe he's going to be on with us at 9 o'clock, and you can come out and meet the great Ken Bone today. He will be at Normandy throughout the course of the day for the Lemmings Open, and then our post-tournament festivities at Hot Shots in Bridgeton at 12154 St. Charles Rock Road. Doug, it is the Lemmings Open, and we are at Normandy doing our live broadcast of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Yeah, do you know anything about Ryan Kelly?
Well, I know quite a bit about him, Tim. He's the mortgage expert.
I saw you had his page up on your iPad.
I was trying to get even more information because, you know, this mortgage business, it's fascinating stuff. It's all about mortgages, really. It's all about
That's a nice line. Having, That's a good ad lib.
It's all about having money to pay for your house. How do you do it? I don't have the money with me right now. Well, it's a thing I call a mortgage, and you can get it with Ryan Kelly.
Did you coin that?
Yeah. Yeah, I made it up just now. Is it just kind of freestyling?
Good.
Or if you have a mortgage right now and you said you have a rate like in the nines.
Yeah, it's mine.
You can go ahead
I'm
and
not touching it.
You can go ahead and refine it. I would touch it. I would go ahead and refine
it. Higher's better, right?
Higher's not better in this case. No. No, if you're spending, if that's the just trust me on this. It's very complicated, and Ryan Kelly's got it all figured out. He handles the mortgage, he handles the refinance, and he does it better than anybody.
But
else.
I'd want a guy who is the number one loan originator for the entire Midwest. That's who I would.
Bingo.
Be.
What? That's exactly who he is, and that's according to the Scotsman's Guide. And I know we all keep a very close eye on the Scotsman's Guide, and he is number one in most mortgages closed in the Midwest, number nine in the entire country. So if you have a mortgage with a high rate, and by high now, I don't mean nine, I mean four and a half, that's a high
better.
Rate now. Yours is worse. You want to go ahead and get rid of that mortgage. I'd burn it. I'd have a little burning ceremony over your mortgage this evening. Get into Ryan Kelly and get that mortgage refinanced. He can save you hundreds of dollars a month, tens of thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. So give him a call, Ryan Kelly, 314-781-9700. 314-781-9700. And his website is thehomeloanexpert.com, HomeLoanExpert, LLC.
That was just a little bit of improv right there. That was just a little bit of improv, wasn't it?
I believe tonight when you're dancing cheek to cheek with another dad, you're going to whisper into the gentleman's ear, you need to refi.
No, that's not my game. I'm not in the mortgage business. It's Ryan Kelly handles that.
Tim Convey is sitting down with us here. You can see him this weekend at the Funny Bone, and he joins us right now here in the Gateway Buick GMC studios at Norman today. Tim, have you ever seen improv like that in all of your comedic work?
I have not, and I'm very excited about it. This is checking a lot of boxes for me today. I've really? Dreamt for a long time of coming on the show. Of sitting across from Doug.
Oh, my gosh, really? Doug.
How's your mortgage, buddy?
I don't have a mortgage. I'm so impressed by Ryan Kelly, though. I want to find a way to do business with him, even though I don't have a mortgage. I would let
him
what
are you waiting on? Get out there. The rates are low.
You think?
Some of the two.
I guess maybe I talk to him. I get in the mortgage game.
Do you feel
get
Doug
Doug
is,
I'd like to be in it.
Because you seem mesmerized. Do you feel Doug is sort of drawing you in?
That's what he does,
bit?
Man.
A bit, yeah. But it's subtle too. You know what I mean? Where I can't exactly fight it. It's so slow.
You can't fight it.
God, that's hot.
It's
not
that hot.
I like when we have guests.
It really
come
isn't
on.
Hot.
Just go ahead and ask him to dance.
I want to bang one of the hosts. Now, Chris Denman, the host of We Are Live from 4 to 7 here on the All New 590 The Fan, has tweeted out: tune into TMASTL right now to hear We Are Live's very own Benedict Arnold, Tim Convey, on. He is upset that you are joining us because he considers you We Are Live property.
You know, I was very honest with them from the first time I went on the show. I said, my goal is TMA. You know,
wow.
I looked at it, and I've logged hours on that show.
You have?
All just one big audition, as far as I was concerned,
to be here at
Normandy in the golf shop.
That shows a Shishawali operation.
Oh my God, Doug! Yeah. Why are you declaring war on We Are Live?
I don't blame a fella for kind of getting his feet wet on a show like
there
that.
There you go.
And then coming into this one,
have you thought about aligning yourself with a good radio station, one that has more of a
reach?
We like to call listener base
or encoder.
Signal.
No, I mean this is the goal. You know, after today, I'll kind of reassess and look at things. But it was that was my stepping stone. We Are Live to here, and I'm just going to enjoy this. You know, while I have it, I'll worry about the next
I will
one.
Say, those guys are connected. Those guys have a future. Those guys are
attacking the show.
Those guys have traction. We don't.
Gabe.
I'm reconsidering it, to be completely honest, as I sit here now.
Because it's not right. We're not funny.
Yeah,
we're
like kind of like, oh, now I see it.
Unless there's a certain spark to what they do. I don't know if it's the surrounding.
There's no spark here, Tim. I can tell you that. Tim will be at the Funny Bone this weekend. And if I'm not mistaken, am I wrong? We met at spring training like 2 years ago. Is that correct?
That is correct. The idiots I was with borrowed sunscreen from Doug.
They did?
Yeah.
I don't usually give it up that easily.
It was quick, and I think everyone in our group used it. There was
really?
Like 20 of us.
Yeah,
I remember
we
that. The left field bleachers.
It was a bachelor party. Yeah, I'm not proud of.
Well, I hope no one got burned.
No, you took care of us. It was
for you. Did you rub them down?
I didn't. I just handed him the bottle.
He did. He did.
And as I recall, a friend of mine who is a friend with one of the people on the bachelor party may have been you. I don't believe this gentleman wants his name used. Informed me that one of the gentlemen on the bachelor party would like to do things to my wife. We've been together for 8 years, and I thought, well,
at least somebody's straight in that whole operation.
what a wonderful text to receive as I'm sitting here with this group of gentlemen.
I'm actually encouraged. I'm encouraged by it.
Handing lubricant to them. Is that what you handed them?
It was sunscreen.
Well, you can use it.
I was unaware of that.
Yeah, no, that did happen.
And again, I thought borrowing the sunscreen was the worst thing.
It apparently wasn't.
Apparently not.
Because my compadre was back in St. Louis. He goes, I don't know what's going on, but a friend of mine just texted me. So that was nice. Mm. But yes, I met Tim then. And
yeah, well, long, long, long ago, you probably don't remember, but I was a Sigma Chi at Mizzou when you were there. So we crossed paths.
When I was there?
Your fraternity brothers?
You were on KOMU when I was a freshman.
Okay. I didn't come around all that much.
You
at that
did not
point.
Come around.
You were
much.
Too big for the underclassmen. Even
no, I always felt weird when I was a freshman and the guys who were in their fifth year would like hang around and haze people. And I'm like, that's kind of sad.
I think you were a pompous bastard.
Well, no, I am. But that's not the reason why I didn't
was
come
Tim
around.
Was Tim a big okay. deal back then?
Oh, like, big deal.
I don't think anybody even knew me. Kind of like
what
now.
Kind of frat is that where Tim's the big deal? Yeah, usually
you,
it's like a starting middle linebacker on a or something.
Nope, Tim McKernan.
Yep,
in
that's
our,
exactly
in,
right.
in our world. Yeah.
So I didn't know you were Sigma Chi at Missouri.
Oh yeah.
Well, and hope to you.
You as well.
Yeah,
what did you say?
No, it's secret code,
yeah,
bro.
We can't
say
talk
hope.
About that, guys.
Did you say
secret
hope?
Code, bro?
Do you have a handshake?
I'm not gonna answer that question.
How much time do you have?
Sigma Nu has a handshake.
I bet you do.
Oh, you bastards! Do you have a little code? Greeting like they just shared on the air?
No, but we have a handshake.
Let's see it.
I can't tell you.
Boy, that stuff's dumb, isn't it?
Yeah. It really seemed important at the time.
It sure did. And I don't know how to handle it. You know, with Joe Strauss's daughter, Alexis, Anna Marie and I have gotten close to her since her passing, and one of the things she will talk to me about is her sorority. And then she'll also talk to me about, like, boy situations. And I'm a horrible parent, even though I'm not a parent, because I go, he's probably always going to want to do that kind of stuff. We never change. But I probably shouldn't tell her that. And then she talks about her sorority. I'm going, yeah, that's, in the whole scheme of things, it's really not that big of a deal. But to her at the time, it is. And so I need to go to, like, parent counseling to do better at this stuff. Because I'm looking back on 1994, 95, when I was a pledge at Sigma Chi, and I go, God, that was really stupid and a total waste of time. But in the moment, as we're all talking about, it seemed like the biggest
damn
deal in the world.
That's what you share with Joe's daughter. You say, enjoy it now, because maybe 2-3 years from now, this stuff will
but
seem
even
meaning.
That, I feel like, is a bad thing to
I
say.
I think you gave her the perfect bit of advice when
really?
You said, yeah, that boy's probably always going to want to do things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I don't know what it means.
Okay, so you think that's good advice? Because I'm only
well,
thinking,
it's honest advice.
It is honest advice.
What, does she think boys aren't going to want to do that stuff?
Yeah, I think. But not her. I think all, even women now probably think that. This is an official message. We will always want to bang around. It is right. just the way it is. I can't help the cause. It is biochemistry.
It's in our DNA.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. Hunt and gather, Doug. That's what I say. Hunt and gather.
It's a burden, really.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Especially when we're this hot. That's the thing.
Yeah, boy. That causes a real problem.
That causes a ruckus.
I'm impossibly handsome, as you know.
Is what it does. Yep. So here is Tim Convey. Here's a guy who has a lot going on, and you are not only always appearing on We Are Live until today, where I guess you might be banned from the show.
We'll see.
Well, but
I'm going to make some calls.
But you are a producer on Not Safe with Nikki Glaser, and if I'm not mistaken, she is a Kirkwoodian?
She went to Kirkwood. Yeah, that is correct.
Pioneer Proud,
really?
Doug. Just like
correct.
You.
Yeah.
Must be a sharp cookie.
She is very sharp.
And she's doing
quite
very
impressive.
Well, is she not? And you work with her regularly, correct?
Yeah, she's we did 2 seasons of the show on Comedy Central, and then she did the Tonight Show a few weeks ago.
Oh, did she really?
And then the roast of Rob Lowe. She was
I saw
on that.
I got I saw that, up. And you played a role in writing some of the
I got to, I wrote a ton of jokes for that and got a little bit on, but she did great. So she's amazing, and I get to work on her show out in L.A., and it's a good time.
Now, what's the goal for someone like you?
I think I was pretty clear about that. It was being here.
he just reached the summit. Yeah. Today.
Let's pretend we're being sincere.
Sure.
And no, I mean, because like, there's so many avenues. It's so hard to break through. I get it. There's some people that are amazingly talented. But is it to get on a sitcom? Is it to get big dollars by touring and doing your stand-up routine? What is it?
It's different for everybody. You know, you meet, especially in L.A., it's a lot of stand-up comedians who are also actors or actors who try stand-up, which is really frustrating and a totally different thing. But, you know, for me, I want to continue to stand up for as long as I can. And I like writing, producing, kind of creating. I have no desire to act or be on a sitcom or anything like that. But, you know, I want to do stand up for as long as I can, and whatever can help me do that or, you know, elevate that. So hopefully, you know, probably being behind the scenes, creating shows, stuff like that.
You know what I think fascinates people, or maybe takes them by surprise? Like, to write a new set or whatever you guys call it takes forever. Right? I mean, people think, oh, you jot down notes, and then, you know, a week and a half later, you can go up and do an hour, right? It takes forever to get it right.
Right, because even you write a joke, and that joke becomes things over months. Every time you get on stage, you learn something, you turn things a little bit, and it's also different for everybody. I mean, a guy like Louis C.K. prides himself on it's a new hour every year, which is astounding. Nobody else does that. No one else has done anything like that. And then somebody like Jerry Seinfeld has a different approach where he's still doing jokes he wrote, you know, 25 years ago, and there's nothing wrong with that either. So it's different for everybody, but it absolutely, it takes quite a bit of time. And, you know, you don't write a joke, you tell it, done, move on to the next one. You got to figure out how it works on stage, you know, what's good, what's bad, and how people are reacting to it.
Do you know Greg Warren pretty well?
Yeah.
Because I think he's hilarious.
He's the greatest.
Too.
Another Kirkwoodian.
Yeah, that's right.
Sharp cookie.
Yeah. No one would argue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I both think pretty much. It's difficult to get into Kirkwood. You know, scores have to be a certain level.
Sure.
They'll say no. If you're a B-plus student, they'll say, you know what, try Vianney. It's
sure.
Wait, I thought you like just that. Lived in the Kirkwood
district.
Proper.
Yeah.
No, that won't get you.
No.
No.
It's a private public school.
It is indeed.
Good thing we didn't move there with the hopes of getting
you
our kid.
That would have been a sorry, yeah.
So when I met you a couple of years ago, you were just starting out.
That is true.
And so things have clearly progressed.
Yeah, I've got a long way to go, but I've been fortunate. I started this a few years ago. I was in a band called Ludo from here and played music for a really long time.
Doug, did you know that?
Ludo?
Yes.
How do you spell that, fellow?
L-U-D-O.
What does that mean?
It is the character from the movie Labyrinth, the David Bowie movie.
Did you see that? And the actress who was in Labyrinth?
Jennifer Connelly.
How about that? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
She was in The Rocketeer.
Okay, I didn't
she
know
was.
That.
She was also one of A Beautiful Mind, wasn't she?
Russell yep, Crowe's
her. Love she was the mm-hmm. wife for sure.
Yep. Okay.
So what kind of music? Ludo. What kind of music?
Sort of kind of nerd rock, kind of Weezer meets Queen, people would always
Weezer
say.
Weezer meets
if that,
Queen.
If that mm-hmm. makes sense. So we toured all over and got to do a lot of cool stuff. We did the Tonight Show and Jimmy Kimmel and all those types
really?
Of things. Yeah. And then that sort of ended. And then I was like, what am I going to do now? And Nikki, who I've been friends with, Sharp Cookie, Kirkwood High School, pushed me. It was like, you got to try this. So spent a few years doing that. And I've been lucky. Got to do some cool things. And here I am today. So it's all paid off.
At the mountain.
Pretending that he's reached
you went from the
goal.
Tonight Show to here and you're happy
right.
about it?
Yep. Thrilled. You have no idea.
Yeah. See?
I would think you would have stuck with the band if you'd made it that big.
Well, that wasn't all completely in my under my control.
They threw you out.
No, the band doesn't really. We never officially broke up, but it's been a few years since we've done it. So someday we'll you know, hit the pageant and do it again. But
is there tension? Be honest with me.
Oh, my God.
Is there really?
Oof.
Is there really, honestly?
It's better now.
So what happened?
You know, I this is an analogy that no one really responds to, but I'm going to give it to you guys.
I enjoy analogies. You know, I like metaphors better, but
you're
I'll
known,
take
you're known for enjoying analogies.
You know, this is what my band was like. It's like if all of us are like, guys, we're going to drive to Kansas City. We're going to hop in the car, and we're all excited about it. We're going to do whatever it takes to get to Kansas City. We're all doing our part to get to Kansas City. Then we get to Kansas City, and Doug's like, let's head north. We're going to go to Canada. And Tim's like, let's head west. We're going to go to California. Jim's like, I'm happy just to be here right now. And I'm like, no, we're supposed to turn around. We kind of reached a certain point where we wanted to be. All were on the same page, then got to that point. Everybody wanted to do something different, and we couldn't get it together to kind of power through. Yeah, it was.
You kind of need one guy in charge.
Yeah, you kind of do, and everyone kind of thinks they should be in charge. Everyone thinks you know their idea is the best, so it's you know, it's frustrating, but it was those egos that kind of made us able to do what we did, and that's why I've chosen something that's very uncollaborative.
Do you like comparisons or just analogies?
I'll take a comparison, sure.
This show, obviously, like your band, big stars.
Oh, my God.
Big stars,
a lot
right?
of egos
incredible.
In here.
But the difference is we have a set leader because he owns it in Tim, and we all believe totally in Tim. But also the thing that keeps us together, while we're super talented and great Americans, we don't see each other until pretty much the show goes on the air, and then right at 10 o'clock we all go our different directions.
Absolutely.
So
it's
any
true.
Potential for tension is gone.
And you can't do that with a rock band. How I wish we could have just showed up on stage and played, but it's you're living in a van and a tour bus, and
you have to rehearse and practice where we don't
make business decisions. Are we going to do this? When are we going? It was.
So I get what you're saying, though. Now you're you are on your own.
It's yes.
Like going from like a baseball or football team to being a golfer, you're on your own. You control your own destiny. Of course, you have to work with, people on your shows, Nikki Glaser and so on, but you are controlling. I always kind of envy that, and then at the same time, I would imagine it's somewhat, I don't know if intimidating is the right word, cause of anxiety.
Yeah. It
because
can be
not only
you're
performing, which would certainly cause anxiety, but then realizing that you're in control of your own destiny as an individual with your career.
Yeah, it can be. It's overwhelming. I mean, sometimes I miss the group dynamic and being able to, blame the other guy sometimes for stuff like that. But at the same time, it's empowering. And again, after doing that for so long, because it was straight. I went from Mizzou to that. That's all I had done. It does feel good. Some of these, sort of different things and not having to rely on.
How would you describe your comedy stylings? Who are your influences? And I know that's a very cliche question when you have a stand-up on. But I'm legitimately curious.
Yeah, I also feel stupid answering that question sometimes because I still feel it's so early, in kind of what I'm doing. Chris Rock is my favorite. Whether you would watch me and be like, oh, this guy's a big Chris Rock fan, I don't know about that. But I mean, I talk a lot about St. Louis, growing up in the Midwest. Having spent kind of my whole life here and then lived in all kinds of different places, I feel like I have kind of perspective on that. So it's stuff about that. A lot of sports stuff, a lot of Cardinals stuff, and then a lot of all my relationships from the miserably failed to the.
Are you a married man?
Mildly successful. I'm not. I'm single.
Completely single.
Completely single.
Wow, Doug. So you can go out there and tour, and then you have – I've heard tell of some good situations if you're single and on the road as a comedian.
You have a lot of groupies, guy.
I've heard tell. I mean, hell, if you're coming from a rock band, you already got that deal.
Mm-hmm. The rock band, I had a girlfriend the whole time, so it was
If she went on a row with you,
there was none of that. I didn't indulge.
I saw Straight Outta Compton.
It was very much like that. Yeah. Very similar to our situation. Yeah, comedy. It's not as. I don't know. You move around anywhere. You're any place for one night or two, and there seems to a culture around such things seem to develop, but. I try to.
What does that mean?
Behave.
A culture develops. That means the women.
That means he'd rather not go into specific details.
Well, okay.
Right? Not me, but yeah, you're right, Jim. I'd rather not go into
specific details.
Now, do you ever think, okay, I need to move? Or do you live in St. Louis now? Maybe
I'm Los Angeles.
Oh, you live in L.A. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
But I get to spend quite
the hell out of us.
Quite
you moved
a
out there with the Rams, didn't you? We're not quite good enough for you.
The same weekend as the Rams.
Did you really?
Yeah, that January. I literally was.
Did you get a nice chateau in Inglewood?
I'm right there.
Right next to the
Forum. I hit the gallery before I went and bought all that Rams gear. You could get just about anything for $1 when that happened, and I headed out west.
Where do you live out there now, Mr. Hollywood?
I'm in Los Feliz.
Oh, sure, Los Feliz. Where the hell is that?
Keysonville.
Where is it?
Not too. So we work the studios in Hollywood, so not too far from that. Griffith Park is all right there. But yeah,
okay.
A little apartments, not a bad deal.
I like LA. I would think if you're in your industry, you got to be there, or I guess New York.
Right.
But it's also if you do make it and you have some cash. I can't imagine a better place to live in that area.
I'm getting used to it. It's I love it here. I lived in New York for a long time. I love it there. It's not my favorite. I have this theory that if you're from the Midwest, you're gonna like either the East Coast or the West Coast. If you're from either coast, you can enjoy both and be completely fine. But I feel like most people from the Midwest either enjoy one or the other, and I just love the East Coast.
I don't really like L.A. I like New York.
I like them both
a lot. Yeah, I know you're an L.A. guy.
And Doug, I'm from like New York. County.
You're from, right. Yeah. It's, yeah. My theory stands.
Yeah, so I noticed in the few times I was up there and did the Artie Lang show, one time he was kind enough to take me and my wife out with him and at the time his fiance, and there were just a bunch of comedians, and they all hung out together. Mm-hmm. And they were, well-known comedians. Susie Essman, Gilbert Gottfried, Attell was there that night. Seinfeld just happened to walk up and do a 15-minute set. Mm-hmm. And they just and Artie said we were driving back to do our show. And he goes, that's what happens around here. Guys like Rock will just show up and try out new material. And then they'll find out if it works. and then they'll include it for a special or a routine that they're going to build towards.
Yeah, I assume that with Comedy Cellar, is that where
It was Gotham.
Oh, okay, cool. It is. It's that stuff is pretty crazy out there, because I'd go with Nikki and, you know, everyone would do the sets. And you're already seeing this really high caliber. It's all these people, you know, kind of up and coming, whatever. And then, you know, somebody like a Chris Rock comes out, which I got to see a few times. He comes in just as 45 minutes and just tears the roof off.
Yeah.
And it's brand new stuff. And it's, it's cool. But New York, I love New York. And like,
does it happen in L.A. as well?
Are those
comedy houses?
It does. It doesn't feel, again, I'm just sort of, I'm one of those weird, New York's such a magical place to me. It does happen in L.A., but it all, because there's so much kind of industry and everything else, it feels, it's not as magical for whatever reason. Yeah.
Do you freak out or are you totally calm? Because to me, like, if you think you're a funny guy, like most people do, like the scariest thing is, okay, I'm going to go up on that stage by myself. And now I'll know if I'm funny because I have to make them laugh or not. Are you beyond any of that kind of worry? Or
I mean, I worry about it. I want to do well, but I don't freak out, you know, in front of people. It's intimidating. You kind of feel like you're tricking them even. That's why, you know, a lot of the stuff we get to do on Nikki's show is fun, you know, writing jokes for somebody else, because you hear someone else say it and get a laugh and you're like, oh, that's I legitimately did something funny. I haven't just fleeced these people and somehow gotten them to laugh. So it's rewarding. But yeah, it's, you know, the bigger shows or certainly other comedians watching you, I get a little nervous. But in general, just going up there and figuring it out. I mean, you learn kind of quickly that the worst thing that's going to happen is people aren't going to laugh. And then you just go up on stage again, so that fear kind of gets removed. It's not so bad to bomb. Everybody does it.
You're at the Funny Bone this weekend. How long is your set?
So this week I do about 25 minutes. I open for Rachel Feinstein, who is fantastic. She just did a world tour with Louis C.K. and Tuesday night she's at Madison Square Garden with Amy Schumer. She's fantastic. I do about 25 minutes. It's a good time.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a long time to be up there. You ever think you're going to draw a blank or worry about the oh, I forgot this joke.
I've never done this, but a lot of comics, you know, like a Saturday night, we do three shows in a night. We'll tell jokes they've already told. They'll be in it and kind of weave through, and then that is my biggest fear as a comedian that I'm going to
that
tell.
You're going to tell a joke that was already told that night.
No,
really?
No. Of my own set. Within one set.
Oh,
I'm up there for say 25 minutes.
Oh,
people do it.
Oh,
yeah. Isn't that crazy? Because you know, a lot of times you're so used to your set, it's just kind of the one thing you
could do that to an older audience, and maybe they forgot it.
A lot of people start out in nursing homes for that very reason. but that is my biggest fear.
Well, because I mean, we tell the same story 19 times on this show.
Yes,
because you forget you told the same story last Tuesday. You thought it was
head injuries played a big role in that.
I could imagine
that got a lot of attention. I thought anyway, and it's probably very commonplace for you, and you guys probably are all hip to it in being in the industry. A few years ago, there was a bunch of criticism. I can't remember what the name of the Carlos Mencia, is that who it was?
Carlos Mencia, yeah.
Of ripping off people's material, and Joe Rogan confronted him on that thing.
On stage, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys ever saw the video of that. Is that a big issue in stand up right now?
Yeah, it happens a lot. You hear a lot of stuff.
I guess Amy Schumer was accused of it recently.
By Kathleen Madigan, who's from right here.
Oh, I didn't know it was by Kathleen Madigan, really?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bit of a Twitter war. I mean, it is really tough. I mean,
do you think it's accurate?
In the Amy Schumer case, no, I don't. She and Nikki are close, and I mean, no, I don't think it's accurate. Mm. You know, sometimes it might be something that's kind of subconscious that you heard before. A lot of times people just come up with the same
stuff,
funny
yeah.
stuff. I mean, I wrote a joke I was doing for a while. I was just so excited about it, and a friend said, hey, man, that kind of reminds me of this one thing. He sent me a clip, and it was pretty much the same joke. This guy did it much better. His was much longer, you know, whatever, but it was the exact same idea. So that stuff happens, but there are people that steal jokes. What's his name? Screech from Saved by the Bell.
The wonderful Dustin Diamond.
We had him on the show.
Appeared on this show.
Yeah, and I spent time with him. Very, very nice guy, but often gets accused of he'll be in one city, and the feature comic is that's like what I'm doing this week. You go on before the headliner. He'll be in one city, and then the next week is doing the previous week's feature comedian's material in the next.
But no one's going to say anything because he'll stab you.
Also
right?
True.
Didn't he get arrested for stabbing a guy?
He's in jail for it right now, I believe, unfortunately.
He's has to cut people?
He's had a couple run-ins.
One of the comedians?
The
No, he's just at a bar. He claims someone attacked his wife. And that he had a his story and his story doesn't match up with the fact that he's actually in prison. So this is, and so we'll see.
Yeah. Tim Convy sitting down with us here. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS. Tim is going to be at the Funny Bone tonight and tomorrow. Plus, he'll be at Blueberry Hill next Saturday evening with the cast of the Crab Feast podcast. I'm sure you've heard him on We Are Live, which you can hear on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, from 4 to 7 today. The great Ken Buck will be here coming up at 9 o'clock. Do you touch on politics and or the election when you're up there, or do you figure that is too, you don't say divisive anymore, Doug, you say divisive. Thank you.
It is a little divisive for me. I don't, just because so many people kind of beat it up and so many angles have been explored.
Yeah.
If I came up with some great perspective that someone hadn't already, I'm sure I would do it. But no, my act doesn't have a lot of that. And I've seen a lot of guys, you know, especially a place like the Funny Bone, that they lose the crowd on it.
Yeah.
You know, or you, people start arguing with each other within there. So it's a tough, it's divisive.
Stop saying divisive.
I like it. Well, it's like harassment, and then all of a sudden you had the Clarence Thomas hearings, and it became harassment.
What do you say about St. Louis? Like, one of the things, you kind of pick on St. Louis for being a little, not that it is, backwards. That's why it's funny.
New York elitist right there.
That's why it's funny, because it's the opposite of backwards.
A few things. I'm gonna tell a joke, and the We Are Live guys are not gonna be happy about it.
Now, why is this? Why will they not be happy?
You have an agreement. You can't do material.
Devin is already unhappy, and he's attacking you.
I told it on their show. No, he'll be fully supportive. But basically, yeah, that St. Louis. You know, we've got some issues, but the place loves baseball, right? I mean, we love the Cardinals here. It's unlike anywhere else. But Yadier Molina, beloved here, could do, you know, whatever he wants. But in a place like St. Louis, how popular would a guy like Yadier Molina be if he wasn't a baseball player? You know, like, what's the difference in the way St. Louisans treat Yadier Molina versus the city's second most popular Puerto Rican guy with a neck tattoo?
There's a drop off
because that's a real person. St. Louis has a second most popular Puerto Rican guy with a neck tattoo. His name's like Jose. He's a security guard at the Galleria.
Nice guy.
He's like, hey man, I keep people from stealing too.
Good.
I like that material.
So that's a little, yeah. I get some Chris Duncan action in there.
Action in there.
I listen to you know, when the 590 single isn't coming in
right
properly.
So let's say you're outside of 270.
Yeah, exactly. Chris Duncan is he's entertaining on the radio, so I make fun of him a little bit.
Poor Chris Duncan gets hit, Doug. He's got his defensive issues, and now Tim's attacking his broadcasting issues.
I think he's fantastic.
I wanted to ask you about this because I saw, and I don't know if this is an accurate article or just one of those things that, like, your grandparents forward through email, but that Ann Coulter was saying people have a problem with what Donald Trump said to Billy Bush, but they didn't have a problem with her being called the C word multiple times during the roast. Now, I haven't read this, so I want to make this clear. I saw it in my Facebook timeline, so it's got about a 20% chance of being accurate, although I've unfollowed almost anybody I'm not related to or close friends with on Facebook,
right,
especially during this time of the year. But you were there.
Yes.
I assume you were there, right?
I was there.
You had written a bunch.
I was there, yeah. It's and it was as awkward in there as it
was. No, it really? I thought there was a lot of editing going on.
No.
Really?
It was incredibly uncomfortable. It was so strange, and I thought, I kept saying to people, she's going to be great. She's going to be great, because she said when she's on TV, you know, she goes on Bill Maher a lot.
Yeah.
She says really fun, outlandish, but she says a lot of funny things. I'm like, she's going to get up there and kill. And she bombed. It was a disaster. I had friends who wrote on the main show. They gave her a bunch of great material. She didn't want to do any of it. She got up and did the stuff that she did. It was really, really bad. Really?
Have you guys seen the Rob Lowe roast we're referring
to?
Yeah,
but I didn't see her speak. I just saw her look like every time. I mean, there were some vicious things said about her.
Yes.
And she didn't look like she was enjoying it.
But that's why
at all.
I figured it was just obvious editing, but you're saying no. Was she really that pissed when it was going on?
Yes.
Yeah, really?
I mean, all those shots, it was not edited to look worse. It was.
You can tell if they're using the loop of the same. Like, she looked like she was having a bad night.
It was really bad.
Why did people put themselves in for that? I'm sure B.
Arthur wanted to promote her book, right?
She wanted to promote her book. I mean, the idea that she didn't know what a roast was is ridiculous. They send her everything. These things have been going on for a long time. She knows what it is. And the fact is, I mean, the point of these things is that anything goes. And people were like, well, they were particularly similarly vicious to her. You go with every angle for whoever you're writing for. Ralph Macchio, everyone just talked about, you know, his career's over. What a joke. He peaked in the 80s. He lives in a car. All kinds of stuff like that. That's what you do with Ralph Macchio. Nikki, you make fun of her show and how she's not really that famous. Obviously, the Ann Coulter thing is going to be she's the devil, she's a horrible person. Like, that's what it is. She wasn't treated unfairly or anything like that. That's what the setup is going to be. And it's a comedy. I mean, it's literally on Comedy Central. And Ann Coulter's not running for president. She, you know, I mean, or any of those comedians who were making fun of her aren't running for president. It's a different thing.
Yeah. I love those things, and I think, like, if you wrote jokes that were said on a Comedy Central roast, you did something. Because I'm amazed, like, people go up there, sometimes you have heard of them, sometimes you haven't, and they all make you laugh. I mean, that those things are great.
It's one of my favorite things I've ever been to.
Oh, is that right?
It was so cool. It was
probably great unless they're telling jokes about you.
But that's part of
especially if you're a woman.
But that's part of
it's probably rough.
I think they did go after Ann Coulter harder than I've ever seen anyone get attacked on there. But pretty much everyone gets killed. You go into it knowing that you're going to take some shrapnel.
Yeah. And everything, you know, nothing's off limits. I mean, so Rob Lowe, obviously, in particular, got it bad on, you know, things from the videotape
right.
to all kinds.
And his kids are sitting there, correct?
Right, not far from
right.
me, right there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. His wife, everybody, you know, I mean, that's what it is. They had a good time. I mean, you know what you're getting into. Yeah. If you've seen a roast, yeah. you know what it is, and it doesn't take you long to figure out before you even watch the thing what people are going to be hitting. You know it's going to be what type of thing it's going to be with Rob Lowe.
And everyone gets killed.
Everybody.
Everyone gets killed on those.
Yeah. You know who's really good, and I don't remember which one it was. I'm sure you remember, Tim. Martha Stewart. Now, I realize, of course, she has writers, but she was outstanding.
Killed it. The Justin Bieber roast.
It was the Bieber roast, yeah.
And as a result, she now has a show on VH1. She and Snoop Dogg are doing a cooking and sort of culture show.
Cooking and smoking.
She was incredible on the roast. And, yeah, they write the stuff for her, but, I mean, like I said, Ann Coulter had stuff written for her, too. But, yeah, she
Nikki did really well, though, man.
Nikki was great.
She was really good.
She was very funny.
Yeah, and it's fun, too, to go, you know, like Nikki goes to the comedy clubs in the weeks leading up to it and is trying out material. So she's going up in front of a crowd and saying, you know, that I'm going to make jokes about Ralph Macchio for some reason, and I'm going to talk about Rob Riggle and stuff like that. So it's cool to watch the stuff develop and then what she actually does hit.
Tim Conby will be at the Funny Bone this weekend. He will be at Blueberry Hill next weekend with the Crab Feast podcast cast. That is at Blueberry Hill next Saturday evening. See him at the Funny Bone tonight. And tomorrow, Tim, I'm glad that you could join us finally on the radio program. Thanks for coming by, Normandy. We appreciate it. I hope you and Denman and Travis, and I believe Gaines is right behind me.
Yeah. They probably sent him to hurt me. But, yeah, I mean, there'll be a healing period.
And don't you say it's a
Shishawali operation?
We're going to be at war with those guys now?
No,
they could crush us, I think.
They could. They're younger gentlemen.
Sure they are.
Tim, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Tim Conby with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We have Jared from the Wheelhouse. He's going to join us. He's going to join us right now, I hear tell. And he's with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Jared, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
What's up, man? It is time, Doug. This is my cue to the Plowhawk for the Wheelhouse Picks of the Week.
These are the Wheelhouse Downtown Picks of the Week.
I got the best player in the league. I'm looking pretty sweet. Handing the football.
Wheelhouse is the local college football and NFL headquarters in St. Louis. 32-ounce big beers with 30 flavors to choose from and a large from-scratch menu. The best nachos in town, served by an even greater staff. They're easily accessible. Take the 11th Street exit off Highway 40. Contact us and book your watch party at parties@wheelhousestl.com. Now, here are your picks of the week.
Well, Doug, what a weekend it is in college football. Some big matchups around the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah, there sure are some big, big matchups.
You're supposed to pick up the ball
right.
and go three
exactly
yards.
Right.
These teams will be playing today because the schedule says it's time to meet up.
On a Friday.
Yeah. I mean, these schedules have been out for years and years, and now we get right down to it.
Well, Missouri, good teams, good football teams. They will be in action at the Swamp. This is a game that they have had circled on their calendar for a while, and I'm going to the InsideSTL.com page. Jared, I don't know if you didn't submit your picks or what's going on here, but I see there's a blank, so I'm going to find out your picks as we go. And then I see producer Joe kind of gives a narrative on the standings each time he picks a game and how he went 5-1 last week. He has Missouri getting 13.5. I'm going with the Gators minus 13.5. The Cat, where are you on? The Tigers and their anthracite.
I'm going Gators.
Minus 13.5. Doug.
It's a lot of points to give up, Doug.
It's a lot of points, but I like this Florida team. They've got some athletes. They've got some non-athletes, but they've got some ball players, and they've got some guys who can really play ball. And I think that their athletes and their ball players, those who can and cannot play, will be too much for Missouri.
Jared, that's an intriguing perspective from Doug. I don't know if that gives you any insight.
Oh, it did. I think I'm going to go with the Gators now by 13.5 at home.
Yeah, he was on Missouri, but he heard that, mm-hmm. and that was a game changer. Gators for me as well. Alabama, minus 13. They are at Tennessee. Now, Doug, a lot of people have been watching Tennessee mm-hmm. since the start of the season, and they had trouble on Thursday night against Appalachian State, and then they almost lost so many different times.
Yeah.
But then they finally did lose last week at College Station. Uh-huh. They are at home, a game you know the Vols will be fired up for against Roll Damn Tide, a team that went into Fayetteville last weekend and had no problem with the Razorbacks. The Cat, Alabama, minus 13 at Tennessee.
Alabama.
Roll Damn.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of Alabama practices this week.
What do they have?
Well, they practice. And some days they don't. But most days, non-game days specifically, this team will practice. And so they have worked out what I would call a practice routine that suits them well for this game against Tennessee. I'm not sure Tennessee's been practicing. I know for sure Alabama has. So I will take Alabama.
Jared.
Well, I heard that Tennessee has indeed been practicing, so I'm taking 13 points.
I am going with Roll Damn Tide, minus 13. Ohio State, minus 10 at Wisconsin. This is a huge game in college football, Doug. Wisconsin mm-hmm. losing in Ann Arbor a couple of weekends ago. Now they are at home in Madison, and they're hosting the number two team in the country, the Cat. Ohio State minus 10 at Wisconsin.
I'm going to take Ohio State.
I like your pick because Ohio State does something a little different that the other teams don't do, and that's a thing I call recruit. They will go out and they will specifically target.
You have a source
people
on that?
Are good in high school. Yeah. I've known several coaches who were on the staff of Earl Bruce when he was there.
Oh, dear.
And they will go to these high schools, and they will look for the good players. Wisconsin, on the other hand, I think they're more laid back. They just take whoever shows up for tryouts.
Jared, I had no idea that Ohio State recruited. No. Does that change anything for you?
I wasn't sure either, and it absolutely does. I will take the Buckeyes.
I am going with Wisconsin and the 10 points. I think they're going to be awfully fired up in Madison on Saturday.
You like a home dog, do you?
I do.
You like
I
a
do,
home
even
dog.
Though I just bet against one with Alabama. Rams are on the road against Detroit. This is a game that a lot of people around the country are going to be watching, the Lions and Rams. Lions are laying 3 points. The Cat.
There's no way I'd ever pick the Rams. I'm going Lions.
No.
Yeah, I'll never pick the Rams. They are a tool of the devil. They're the son of Lucifer.
Producer Joe ends his pick by saying F the Rams, except he uses the word, and I condemn that. I'm going Lions as well. Now, Jared likes to take the Rams every week. I wonder if he's still doing that. Jared.
I'm going to shake it up this week, and I actually am taking the Lions.
Wow.
Boom.
Another Lions play. We're all going Lions. Falcons at Seahawks minus 6.5. Atlanta goes into Denver and wins last week. And, Doug, here are these Falcons playing some good football. High-powered offense, Matt Ryan getting things done, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, but they're getting 6.5 in Seattle, the Cat.
I'm going Seattle. They have something, and listen carefully, called home field advantage.
Wait.
Their crowd is very loud and very supportive. I think that's going to be the difference maker, Doug.
I don't agree. I like the Falcons. The Falcons can throw the ball. The Falcons can run the ball. Ah, yes, the Falcons. I'm going to take Atlanta. Based on their ability to throw the ball and run the ball, both.
Interesting.
Jared.
I like the Falcons and the points they're getting in this one.
I'm going to lay the Seahawks 6.5. Cowboys at Packers. 4.5 is the number. Green Bay's giving it to Dallas, the Cat.
I'm taking the Packers. I actually would give more, too.
Wow. It sounds like you like a play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the Packers. I think they will have some fellas put their hands in the dirt and pin their ears back and flat get after the signal caller. I'll take Green Bay.
That Dallas offensive line has been opening up big holes for the John Burroughs product. Ezekiel Elliott. Jared, do you believe the Cowboys will cover the 4.5?
I do. I'm taking the Cowboys.
Taking the Cowboys. I'm going with the Packers minus 4.5. I'm very Producer Joe this week with the favorites minus my pick of Wisconsin. Lock of the week. Now, this is important here, okay? Jared's undefeated.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is. He is undefeated with his locks. Now, in part, I'm going to jinx him, but in part, I'm going to listen to him probably and take his play. This guy is successful with his locks. The Cat, I know you've been monitoring these games very closely.
Yeah, and let's be fair. I haven't missed one of these since 1963.
That's correct.
Undefeated. Yeah. So if we're going to brag, when I want to make a sure lock pick, I go to the Sun Belt Conference. Georgia State at Troy. Troy minus 16. Here's the thing. You know what the difference in this one? Panther quarterback Connor Manning. Doug, I know you've scouted him. He can throw the ball. He went for 340 against Texas State.
Is that right?
That's why I'm going to take Georgia State and the points. Lock of the week, Doug.
My lock of the week is Michigan and the points. Now, my computer's running slow, so I don't really know who they're
hitting the same button over and over again.
I'm not really sure who they're going to play, but let's be honest, it doesn't really matter.
When you pick a lock, it's a lock.
It stays locked. That way.
Jared, what do you got? This is going to be intriguing. You're undefeated.
Yes. Hopefully I can stay hot, but I really like Big Ben and the Steelers at the Dolphins to cover by 7.5.
7.5 is the number that they are laying in Miami. Yeah, the Dolphins have looked just dreadful. And last week was a real low point against the powerhouse that is the Tennessee Titans. I am going to do what you did last week, and I think the Patriots are the exception to my NFL rule, which led me to the Chargers plus 2.5 last night, which is to go against logic. And I'm just going to be taking the Patriots because I feel like they're kind of like Nebraska in the early 1990s, and they're just going to run up the score on everybody this year. I think they're on a mission with no permission. 187 is their name, and it is Patriots minus 9 at home against the Bengals. Tom Brady returns to Foxborough, Massachusetts for the first time since his suspension. Unbelievable, Doug.
Yeah, I can't believe it, even as you say it now. I'm just struggling to put the words together and understand their meaning.
I feel like you're just struggling because your iPad's locked up.
Yeah, it is kind of locked up.
Jared from the Wheelhouse, what's going on at the Wheelhouse this weekend? I would imagine there'll be a pony show.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We got a pony show all weekend long. We got brunch Saturday and Sunday, and we got college football Saturday, and then NFL on Sunday, and then Blues game Saturday night. So another exciting weekend for sure.
Yeah, that Wheelhouse, Doug. I'm telling you.
Well, what's the peak pony show period?
Oh, good question.
It's late. It's usually going to be Friday night, Saturday night around 11 p.m., midnight. Stay up that long.
Wow. That's prime time right in there, is it?
Yeah.
I wonder if I could come incognito, not because of my huge amount of fame, but because of being 40 and the ponies all being around 23.
You think it would kind of be creepy?
Yeah.
No, I think your lemmings would smell you out. They know your scent. As soon as you walked in, the lemmings would immediately swarm.
But I hear tell from Ray King that there's a lot of lesbianism at the Wheelhouse.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
But I hear tell.
Right there, right in the bar.
Yep. Bar proper.
And there's no one else who's 40 going to be there?
I don't think so.
What's the oldest age that people will be there?
Jared?
Oh, probably 34.
Yep. Really? That's the oldest?
They're not going to let 40-year-olds in
there. I don't know if that would be the oldest. There are probably some older people there.
Yeah, but they're creepy crawlers. They're creepy crawlers.
Well, what if they're just there to have a cocktail?
Yeah, but they're creepy crawlers.
Yeah, then go to another place where you don't look like a creep. Yeah.
Well, they let younger people into any bar. Why wouldn't you let an older person into any bar?
Well, I don't think they're not letting them in. I'm just saying it's probably going to be creepy crawlers.
Right, you just got to be 21 and over to enter.
Right.
Okay, that's the key then.
Yeah, there's no discriminatory policy, but let me tell you something. I hear tell there's a lot of sapphic touching.
Oh, there isn't.
That's what I hear tell. Ray King says it.
You know, I believe everything that he says.
Gets Taco Bell.
All right.
Seems like, Doug, you want to go to the Wheelhouse.
Well, I can't go. I'm almost 30 years too old.
You're railing against the age boundaries. Age shaming is a terrible thing.
Yeah, isn't it, though?
Jared from the Wheelhouse, we appreciate it. Good luck this weekend, sir.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
Bye, thank you, Jersey.
Jared from the Wheelhouse, the Wheelhouse Picks of the Week. Ken Bone is going to be here at 9 o'clock. He is going to join us in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios at Normandy for the Lemmings Open. Doug, we tee off in 2 hours, and yeah, sure, Jennings has the best amateur player in St. Louis and maybe the second best amateur player in St. Louis on his team, but don't underestimate the Southside Seaman.
Wow, wow, wow.
And your dad's here, too, to cook any scorecards that need
That's
cooking.
A serious accusation. Well, it's anti-Irish.
All right.
It's anti-Irish.
You got some of the referees from St. Gabe's?
Yeah, they are going to be
cards
here.
As well.
They have their own foursome.
They'll make the rulings on some of the questions.
Cal Kennedy's playing.
Is it? Yeah, boy. Okay, I guess you win.
But no, I want to see the trophy that someone is
Skip
having.
Skip Berkmeyer's got that thing together right here. Now. And it's me in an evening gown?
Looking off into the distance.
Yeah. Ah, here's another email from a show that brokers time on the weekend bitching about me.
That's pretty good.
That's what I'm looking at. All right, it's time for us to take a break. Ken Bone is going to be here. And, Doug, what a wonderful treat that's going to be.
It will be.
His journey. Some say it started at the presidential debate at Wash U on Sunday night. I think his journey started when he appeared on this show at 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday.
Nothing without us. He'd be nothing.
Thank you for saying it. Thank you for
saying
it. He has like 200,000 Twitter followers now.
He went from 7 to 200,000?
For the reals, though.
In less than a week. That could be a record.
I think when Charlie Sheen got on Twitter during his situation 5 years ago, I think that was the record. But, yeah, he is now at – let me get a note for you.
Sheen didn't get a deal with Uber, though, did he?
He did not. He has 239,000 followers.
It's quite a jump.
239,000. Doug, look who it is. It's Tony Dell.
Tony Dell, there he is. Yeah.
Oh, he's blowing kisses to you.
Yeah. You're not plastered today, are you, fellow? Okay, well, that's good. I never know with you.
Tony Doe. Tony Doe. He had to change his name because the real Tony Dow got sideways with him. And, of course, Tony Dow is a friend of this
show.
Did
you notice he looked under the table to see if there was a free pad?
He did. You can't get under the table. Plus, you didn't bring your knee pads.
God, that's going to be hot. I hope during the Ken Bone interview, Tony Doe will be on the table. There's Sarah B. from Tennessee. She
Hello,
is
Sarah
here.
B.
The Inside STL News team is going to be here shooting video, Doug.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, the INT. They'll be
news
here as well.
Team. How was their cast last evening?
Strong, quite.
I hate it when people call a newscast a cast. It really drives me nuts.
I've never heard that term.
Oh, I hear it all the time.
Really?
Yes. Don't call it a cast.
At your shop?
Some people try to call it
a shop.
A shop.
That I've heard. I've never heard cast. All right, it's 9 o'clock. We got a break. Ryan Kelly, what do you have?